Hello, one and all. We're back with Bunce's Boxing Podcast from William Hill, looking at a few good fights this weekend with the man himself, Steve Bunce. You well, Buncey?
Well, I'm well in the sense that I'm looking forward to the fights, but I've got the rarest of things for me, Lee. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. Listen, it doesn't mean I'm going to miss any work. It just means I sound a bit throatier.
Ah, no, you sound fine. We'll rattle through these four fights then, shall we? Three on the same bill. We're going to look at John Wayne Hibbert versus Tommy Martin, John Ryder against Sergey Kamitsky, George Groves back in the ring against Andrea Luiza, and on Box Nation, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one, Sergey Kovalev versus Jean Pascal. Let's start, shall we, with the first of those that I mentioned, John Wayne Hibbert versus Tommy Martin. 13-8 Hibbert, 20-1 the draw, and Martin is priced up at 1-2. Hibbert's record reads 16-3-0. This is for the Commonwealth Super Lightweight title and the WBC International Super Lightweight title. His opponent, Tommy Martin, who record reads 13-0, Buncey, 5 stoppages. This looks like a cracking domestic fight, this one. Obviously, it's for the Commonwealth belt as well, but this could be one of the fights of the weekend.
Well, John Wayne Hibbert's been in a couple of those. He was in a couple of those with Dave Ryan last year, the Nottingham fighter. He won one of them. Very fortunately, and he lost one of them very unfortunately because he was on top, then he got done. So he's been in some really hard skirmishes with Dave Ryan. He came through both of those. And Tommy Martin has been a little bit more protected. He did have a decent win about a year ago against a guy called Ricky Boyle, and then he trod water, as far as I can make out, for 12 months, waiting for a crack at something. He's got his crack at this Commonwealth title that John Wayne Hibbert has. On paper, John Wayne Hibbert has got all the grade. He's been in the wars, he's been in the hard fights, he's been over the 12 rounds, or he's trained for the 12 rounds. So on paper, he starts the favourite. However, Tommy Martin's a lot younger, 10 years younger, and quite brave, quite fearless, and I think he's familiar enough with Hibbert, and I think he fancies something late, and he's had a couple of late stoppages. I think his last couple of fights have been quite late stoppages, so that's a particularly tricky time for Hibbert. He's been done before by Dave Ryan late in the fight. I fancy Hibbert on points in a really hard fight. It wouldn't have surprised me at all if Martin pulled something out in the last 4 or 5 rounds. But I fancy Hibbert on points.
Yeah, Hibbert on points is 5-1.
Wow.
And Tommy Martin, let's go last 10, 11, 12 is 14-1. Couple of nice little prices there, Buncey. That's a nice way to start off the podcast. Let's move on to John Ryder versus Sergey Kamitsky, shall we? Ryder's 4-9, Kamitsky's 7-4, and the draw is 22-1. Again, we've got loads of round by round betting here, as well as the way the fight finishes in the end. Ryder 21-2, 12 KOs in there. He's been stopped once himself, of course, against Nick Blackwell when he lost, he was stopped in 7. It was a kind of a bad night for him. Obviously, the other loss was to Billy Joe Saunders as well. That was way back in 2013. Interesting opponent. We've seen Kamitsky a lot, haven't we, these shores. I mean, you go back to, you know, he's fought Jamie Moyes, fought Martin Murray a couple of times. Ryan Rhodes, yeah. I mean, you look back down his record and he's one of Gennady Golovkin's victims as well back in 2007. So this guy's been around, Buncey, hasn't he? He's, you know, more recently he had a draw with Nick Blackwell, so there's a little bit of a collateral form to go on there as well. Only on a 6 rounder, that one, wasn't it? But
it was also Blackwell wasn't up for that one. It was on one of those undercards out in Monte Carlo. I think it was either Golovkin or Martin Murray fight. It might have been Martin Murray against Golovkin, and that was a stopgap earn a few quid fight. And Blackwell nearly messed up there because, you know, he could have lost that decision. But it wasn't a black one that night. But hey-ho, it still says majority. You know, still says draw on his record. That's fine.
Is 7-4 a little bit disrespectful to Kamitsky? Or do you think Ryder's a level above?
No, I think it's incredibly disrespectful to Kamitsky. I think this is a make-or-break fight for John Ryder. I do. I think, nearly 3 years ago, he fought Billy Joe Saunders in this venue. Or 2.5 years ago, he fought Billy Joe Saunders in this venue and lost on points. He lost, but he was there for 12 rounds, and it was tight enough. Billy nicked it by a few rounds. Now, bear in mind, I think statistically, he still gave Billy his hardest fight. Billy, of course, now the WBO middleweight champion, having beaten Andy Lee. So he pushed him, you know, just like Andy Lee did, losing the title. John Ryder pushed him. Bit of a loss in form, stroke, confidence. The loss to Blackwell was very bad, because And I'll tell you why it was bad. There's one of those fights where a fighter gets it completely wrong. I don't know who was telling him, but I think he was told, listen, show up, put your boots on, put your shorts on, straighten your hair, get in the ring, and a couple of rounds later we'll get out with a belt. No way. They didn't look closely at Nick Blackwell. He did a great job that night, Nick Blackwell. And I thought he crushed Ryder a little bit, really sapped away his confidence as well as giving him a bit of a shellacking. Ryder come back, he's had a nothing fight since then. That's why it's a make or break fight. And Kamitsky, you know, as you say, all those years ago, 8 or 9 years ago, he's being used as a punch bag by Golovkin. In his last fight, he fought for the interim WBA middleweight title. I know that it's semi-bogus in the sense that who needs three world champions at one weight, but the man he fought was a guy called Alfonso Blanco, a Venezuelan that basically no one wants to fight because he's so dangerous and erratic. And Kamitsky went 12 rounds with Blanco, I think, down in Venezuela. Now, that's going some. That shows the type of grade. If Ryder wins, it's a good win. If Ryder does what he's going to try and do and what he really needs to do is stop him, it's a sensational win. Now, I've got no reason to believe that Kamitsky, who's not that old, really, he ain't a youngster, don't get me wrong, but he's lived, I think he only had three fights last year. He's 40, 41, 40. Unless Ryder can make him an old man overnight, this is a hard night's work for John Ryder. I expect John Ryder to win on points, but if it's easy, I'll be shocked. And if he stops him, it's a great win. So Ryder points.
Yeah, Ryder on points is 6-4, so still not the worst price in the world. All the other prices there. Ryder by stoppage is 7-4, so it's not that big a difference. Kamitsky by stoppage is 5-2, and Kamitsky by decision is 12-1. So,
well, I'll tell you what, if he wins on points, he'll win on points. You know what I mean by that? It won't be close.
No, yeah.
That's a sneaky couple of quid there on the Kamitsky bet.
Yeah. Next up, George Groves back in the ring against Andrea De Luisa. George Groves, 21-3 now. Two stoppages in there, of course. He lost to Carl Froch, as we well know, both times by stoppage, and Badu Jack last time out. His opponent, Buncey, is 33 years old, 18-3. Been stopped three times himself. Was stopped by Lucien Boutte back in August of last year, wasn't he? Also stopped by Christopher Rabras. He's not got the greatest opponents on his record, you would say. Is this a good fight for George Groves just to get back in the ring? I mean, he tends to do this. He builds himself up for a world title fight. Looks like he's just a bit below that level and then builds himself back up again. A good fight to build up to. He's 1-100 here, Muncy. So, you know, yeah. We've got loads of markets on it, but he's 100-1 on to win this.
I think you've summed it up. I mean, De Luisa, obviously in Italian, means ideal opponente because he's absolutely perfect. You know, his record is good enough that, you know, you can have it as a top of the bill on a Saturday night on Sky. And that's not a slight, that's a fact. It's good enough you can have him now. And it's good enough that the win here will suddenly put George in a position. You know, I mean, you beat this guy and suddenly you go up various rankings and ratings because you're already heading towards another title. That's the business, and we shouldn't be bitter about that. But every now and again, it works to point that out, okay? George will get to him, no two ways about it. Boutte did it in four. George has been out since September. When he lost to Badu Jack, it wasn't necessarily a hard and draining and sickening fight like the two defeats to Froch, but it was mentally a killer. He came off Facebook. He came off Twitter. He vanished. He split acrimoniously with Paddy Fitzpatrick. He was broken, George. He admits it. He was as low as he's ever been. He got stopped twice by Froch. He wasn't as low as he was after losing to Badu Jack. And then he's had to sit and watch his nemesis, James DeGale, not only win the title and get paid £1 million, then defend it and get paid over £1 million, and then lord it over Groves, like Groves hadn't beaten him twice already. So he's got a lot to prove, George. So it wouldn't surprise me if he tries to get him out of there quick, make a bit of a statement. But he's been out a while, been out a few months, and we know he wasn't ticking over all the time. So I expect George to get to him, but it might be slightly more than four. But, you know, certainly between four and about six rounds, George, to get rid of De Luisa. And there's nothing wrong with being 1-100. That's the business we're in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's 7-4 for between rounds 4 and 6.
That's fine.
Groves in rounds 1-3 is 2-1. Between 4 and 6 is 7-4. Takes him a little bit longer. Between 7 and 9 is 7-2. Just the stoppage for Groves is 10-1 on. So you're probably going to have to look at being a little bit more creative with your bets there. Let's round this off, Buncey, with what should be a cracking fight. Sergey Kovalev, the crusher, against Jean Pascal. It's a rematch, of course, of their fight from last March when Pascal was stopped in 8. This is for the IBF, WBA and WBO World Light Heavyweight titles. 30-3 with one draw is Pascal's record. He's been stopped once, and that was against this opponent, of course. And the Crusher's record, 28-0-1. And it's seldom he goes the distance. Bernard Hopkins took him the distance, and that's the first time.
About 8 years.
Yeah. And I think the first time he's ever been the 12 rounds, actually, the full 12 rounds.
Is that the 12? But also, no disrespects. If that hadn't been Hopkins, one or two referees would have moved in a bit earlier.
Yeah. So this guy, but I was interested to read this week that Pascal says that Frotch punches harder than Kovalev. I'm sure Frotch raised a little smile about that. I think Pascal and Frotch shared the ring, of course, way back when in an absolute classic.
It was 2008, I think, which
started Frotch's unbelievable run of fights, didn't it?
I mean, look,
full credit to Frotch. I'm not sure I believe Pascal, but I don't want to be the one to find out.
No, hey, listen, at that level, who knows and who cares? Pascal was stupidly brave in their fight last year and did hurt and did fight and throw against Kovalev. But Kovalev's got that bit of grade, got that bit of skill. And he's also got a great chin, a great big granite chin. And he, you know, the stoppage was completely fair, straight, no problem after a great fight, 6, 7, 8 rounds, whatever it was. But they both talked. And it seemed, because we did it live, so I'm watching them in the ring. They both talked at the end independently about a rematch. It was really odd. It wasn't something that came up at the press conference or the next day or the next week. It happened within about 4 minutes at the end of the fight. And I remember at the time thinking, have I missed something here? That was a great fight, but Kovalev's dominated it and he smashed him up at the end, as brave as Pascal was. And Pascal, by the way, is trying to win, not on points. He's trying to knock Kovalev out. So it was a terrific fight. They're doing it again, which is great, obviously, because Kovalev and Adonis Stevenson can't agree terms. He's one of the other guys that's got a version of the light heavyweight world title. They can't agree terms. So these two are doing it again. And that's good enough. Don't get me wrong. I think Kovalev starts quite correctly as a big favourite. But Pascal starts as an outsider who can bang enough and he's hard enough and he's good enough to pull off an upset, possibly. What's made this a little bit sexier, to use an old Fleet Street term, is that race has reared its head. It got very nasty at the press conference. We couldn't even show it on Box Nation because it was like a Jerry Springer show. So we showed 20 seconds of bleeps. That's giving it a bit of spice. Will that give anything extra to Pascal? I don't think so. Will it make Kovalev lose his cool? I don't think so. I tell you what I do see. I see the fight ending about the same, 5, 6, or 7 rounds. I see it being as ugly and as brutal. It won't surprise me at all if it gets nasty afterwards. Right. These two aren't going to embrace.
Interesting.
And these two aren't. This is Kovalev has upset one or two fighters. Adonis Stevenson is insisting that he won't have it. You know, won't fight Kovalev. He's a racist. And Pascal's going down the same line. Now, whether that sells tickets, I don't know, but it piques my interest. Sergey, the crusher, I need a bit of PR work, to be honest with you.
I don't think PR's high on his list of priorities, is it?
Yeah.
He needs one of those kind of PR gurus, doesn't he, to go in? You can imagine that, you know, sunglasses on inside, you know, slick back hairdo, all that sort of stuff. 1-4 Kovalev is to win this by stoppage, by the way, Buncey. I mean, you were talking then about maybe, look, Kovalev 1-3 is 7-2. Kovalev in rounds 4-6 is 5-2. Kovalev in rounds 7-9 is 100-30. You'd imagine
it
got
the 5-2.
The 5-2 in round between rounds 4 and 6.
Yeah.
It promises to be an interesting night.
What's
on boxes.
Pascal on points.
Pascal on points is 20-1.
Wow.
What you think that could? You think he could get to him?
Well, you know, listen. The last time it was stopped, I think in the 8th. and it was, all scorecards were the same, 66. Mm. I've got it here somewhere. I'll tell you what they were. 68-64. Mm. But Pascal was still in the fight. So what if it's the same and he wins a couple of extra rounds? Well, you know, if Pascal, I don't see Pascal stopping him.
No.
But could he? Could he get three or four rounds in the bag with Kovalev trying too hard? Hey ho!
Yeah. And has he learned? Has he learned from last time? Yeah, 20-1 then.
Interesting. Pascal's a smart guy. The people around him are smart. He's a superstar in Canada. Why, in the seconds after being stopped and rescued by the referee last year, was he instantly talking about a rematch? It's an odd one, Lee. Because they're getting paid money, but this is not Floyd Mayweather life-changing money. No. It's a strange one, mate. Yeah, it's a real odd one.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting fight. Yeah, I think it'll be interesting whichever way it goes, to be honest. Some good bets there, Bunty. We're looking at John Wayne Hibbert then, John Ryder, George Groves and Kovalev in the end with a couple of... big prices along the way, just to kind of, as little side bets, I think. Thanks very much. We've got a few good fights coming up over the next few months as well. So we'll be back probably mid-February, will we, to have a chat about some of the next ones. Have a good weekend, Bunty. I hope your cold gets better.
I will, Lee. Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.